everyone, and welcome to another episode of Living on Blockchain. Today, we are speaking to Vlad. Vlad is the founder of Curetto. Curetto is building a centralized database for reputation management and research in the Web3 space. Apart from their centralized database, which can be integrated into different ecosystems, they are also creating a research hub for reputation management and just sifting through the noise and getting to the truth. This was a very, very exciting conversation. It's always very fun to talk to founders who are very fond and passionate about what they're building. If you are working in the information veracity space or reputation management space, this one's for you.
Hi, Vlad. Thank you so much for making time to speak to us today. How are you doing?
Hey, Tarusha. Thanks for having me. All good over here. I'm still enjoying the sunny day.
Okay.
Autumn has begun, so let's see how things are going.
Right. Yeah, the weather's been very erratic, like all over the world this year around. So for our listeners, would you like to tell us a little about your background and how you got into Web3 space and what you're building at Curetto?
So as a background, I did graduate the university to become a programmer, to become a developer. And throughout the years, I discovered that was not actually my calling, but I'm still a tech-savvy guy, and I always had this passion for technology and to find new things that can help me in my work or that could help others in theirs. And I discovered blockchain tech, well, actually crypto, let's say, all back in 2013 when a good friend of mine was mining Bitcoin, and he came to me, hey, look what I found. And he told me a few stories about what Bitcoin is, what blockchain is. But at that time, my focus was in so many other things. So, of course, I ignored it. But then in 2017, I discovered it again.
Right.
And I remembered this friend of mine and saying, hey, look how things evolved, right? So I joined, actually, that's when I joined the crypto space as a retail investor. As someone that saw the potential of decentralized technology itself, so not necessarily by the financial gain that it could give to a retail investor at that point. Mm-hmm. And so long story short, I joined as a retail investor back in 2017. Up to that point, I spent more than 14 years working in corporate business development and growth strategies for B2B products.
Mm-hmm.
And services, actually. And so joining crypto as a retail investor, going fully in and bumping my head in all the troubles that a newcomer faces in terms of where to get your information from, who to trust, right? How do you know that someone is actually knowledgeable enough that it's worth to take his opinions into consideration and stuff like that? I had the, I don't know if I could call it fortune or not, but I had the luck to get the ICO craze full front.
Right.
And so imagine, of course, I FOMO'd into different projects. I lost, I got scammed, I got the whole plate.
Right.
And so when the bear market came and I saw my portfolio going down like 90%, I took a step back and I was like, okay, what happened? It's a bit late now, but let's analyze and see what happened. Why did I follow those people? Why did I took those wrong decisions? And the answer came that I wasn't, I didn't have enough financial literacy. I wasn't persevering enough into following through a clear investment strategy. And I FOMO'd a lot, of course, like a lot of people do in the beginning. And
hey,
then getting together with old friends and people that I've worked with in the past, they were also into crypto at that time. And we sat down and said, hey, there's actually a big problem right here. And the problem at that stage, and that we see still being an actual problem, is that people don't know exactly who to trust and how to find a way to answer the question, is trust measurable? Because and also, is reputation something that we can also track and measure in Web3? And also the question, the thing that we saw, and I think you can agree as well, is that in crypto, communities are the ones that move everything, right? We said, what if we could create a platform where community members are the ones that are sharing their thoughts, their knowledge, and to create a place where we can use the crowd wisdom of community members, not influencers that say, okay, I have tens of thousands of followers, but I cannot prove that I'm actually worth of something, or not following different Excel sheets and print screens of my results. How could we create a place where your knowledge can be proven and can be immutably stored somehow, and somehow that if I just come into Web3 and I stumble upon your profile, there would be a way for me to also check your past performance? So that's how the idea of the Coreto platform appeared. The Coreto platform, which is intended to be a reputation-based research hub in which everybody starts from zero. And as we know, that reputation is not being built overnight. It takes time. It can be destroyed overnight. with so many examples in the past. And so we've built it up in such a way that we take the reputation itself and we split it into two main, let's call them indexes. One is the objective side of reputation, which is data-driven, past performance, clear results. And the other one is subjective, which is the social interactions, right? Because I may trust you just by having a 5-minute talk with you, but in the same time, I may not, because we're not on the same social level, or we're not on the same reactions. And so we take these two parameters, trust and past performance, and put them together, giving and showing you a score. And that's how this idea of the platform came to life.
Wow, okay, that's brilliant. I think reputation is very crucial, right? Like you've mentioned, it's so crucial in personal as well as professional context, because the world is becoming smaller, and you know, we are getting in touch with more and more people who are perhaps outside of our immediate circle. And who do you believe and how do you move forward with them, I think is key. So how does Coreto like leverage blockchain to quantify and validate reputation in a trustless environment?
That's one thing, because up to that point, we know, I didn't mention that we managed to launch the platform in 2020. So up to this point, we've gathered somewhere around 3,000 users, in which what they do is just share their opinions. If they have some, I don't know, if they have some ideas in terms of trading, they can share them there. And the community, of course, interact based on how the community interacts with their content. It will get those trust points based on social interaction and some performance points based on exactly clear data. The thing that we've seen that blockchain technology will play a very important part in this is that those scores and your performance would not be closed up in silos in a centralized way. So that means that everybody can check and see in a transparent way, how did you come up to that reputation score. What did you do exactly in the past? So that's if we are talking about the platform itself. But we as a mission, because moving on and as time passed on, we saw that reputation building is something that is even more needed right now as Web3 is starting to be more adopted by retailers and institutions as well. And so now we've launched ourselves on a mission to create a decentralized reputation system, the Corretto DRS, to exactly try to fill this gap in the entire digital world. And we saw that, like I said before, there are fragmented and unreliable reputation systems that are restricting in a way trust and collaboration and limiting these opportunities across both Web2 and Web3 platforms, you know. Because if I'm a freelancer and I'm having my portfolio or my work done on Fiverr, my reputation is there. If I'm going to another gig platform, I cannot take what I have been doing there on Fiverr and to showcase it here and not start it from scratch. So this is why we've taken out that reputation system that we've been using within the Corretto platform. And now we are creating it in such a way that it can be integrated in almost any other Web2 or Web3 platform, chain agnostic, in such a way that the users that are using those platforms, and we know that users are nomads, they walk around from platform to platform, to be able to carry that reputation with them. So we're working on creating an ecosystem, actually, a reputation-based ecosystem in which we bring on board platforms from so many verticals, like socials, DeFi, gaming, trading. And we allow their users to plug in to our system to do what they are already doing within those platforms, and the results of their actions to be stored in our decentralized system, so that then they can take it with them and use it in another one. So we give we focus on the user to give them the ability to port their reputation with them, specifically designed on what they are doing. I'm a programmer, I'm a content creator, I'm a gamer. So basically decentralizing and being a more assertive and seamless way to showcase in different ecosystem what you actually are good at, if you want. Because you can always opt out, of course.
Okay, so these are there are two products, correct? Like my understanding is that there is one is a reputation-based research hub, and the second one is perhaps a centralized reputation system, which is open for other ecosystems to do the integration with, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. So we've started with the platform, and we've realized that there is a need to have interoperability, to have portability, and to not have everybody. Because we've seen exactly that was the main problem. We've seen that there are so many ecosystems or DAOs or platforms in which their users and the results of their actions within those communities they are kept inside, centralized, even if that platform is decentralized in a way. But that user doesn't have the possibility to take what he's been working on and the results of their actions and showcase them into another one.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, your reputation-based research hub can be perhaps used by any end user. It's open for everybody to sign up and sort of check things.
Right now, the platform it's still in an alpha stage. It's intended to be, like I said, a research hub for the crypto industry, and we call it a research hub in terms that if I'm new to the industry and I would join the platform. The platform is like also like a social platform. We can see what is the opinion of the community regarding certain projects, certain assets, certain trading ideas, and you can check the performance of those that share their opinions based on their which is stored on the blockchain based on their past history. And as we know that reputation cannot only go up,
right.
it also goes down. So for instance, I cannot be a trader that constantly says I am 99% right. That's impossible. So that will be also shown based on the trading ideas that you are posting within the Corretto platform. I may also be a content creator that I'm doing different analysis on the market conditions, on, I don't know, different reviews or stuff like that. I may post an article that it's very appreciated and it's very good and a lot of people read it, but in the same time, maybe I can also be wrong in my analysis, right? I can also be wrong in my interpretation of things. So that is how it fluctuates. Performance and reputation itself, it fluctuates. It's not something that only goes up. So yes, you are coming now on the Corretto platform and you are seeing, I don't know, you are interested to see what's the state of, let's say, BNB. And you go to its dedicated page. You see there what is the opinion of the community regarding it in terms of, I don't know, trading analysis. You can see if it has different articles or situation written about it, that news aggregator about it, and stuff like that.
All right. Okay. Wonderful. So what are the kind of key challenges that you've encountered by developing a decentralized reputation system? And has blockchain helped you in addressing these challenges in any way?
Developing a decentralized reputation system, it does come with its set of challenges. And one of the primary ones is that the fragmentation of existing reputation system. Right. Like I said before, many of the platforms out there have their own reputations, their own leaderboards, right? Their own reputation system in place. These actions will give you those that amounts of points. This accuracy will provide you this and that. So it's making it a bit difficult to create a unified framework. This is also one of our goals, to be able to create a unified framework of what reputation means based on different verticals. So the blockchain tech has been an instrumental in overcoming this challenge because it provides a common infrastructure for that data. So it ensures that the reputation data, it's interoperable the way we've been building our algorithms, and to be able to port it across platforms. And the main challenge is actually to get enough platforms to join the reputation ecosystem we've been building, so that it can be at first something a bit closed, let's say, but the aim is to get others to adhere to this, and we will see that in time users will, by the word of mouth, they will be going towards the founders of different projects saying, okay, does your reputation system, is it connected to the Corretto DRS? Because that's what we aim to build more, actually, even for businesses and projects, is to make them more trustworthy, to help them better understand their uses, their users, to create more successful onboarding campaigns based on the type of users that they are targeting, be them Web2 or Web3. So another challenge would be exactly this, the need to build trust in a trustless environment. So we need to find a way that this reputation data is accurate and is reliable. So we've been creating our APIs so that we do not store the activity itself that the user is doing within platform A, but we store the result of that action. And so you as a user, when you're checking someone's profile, because imagine we are like creating you a web-free resume of your activity, but with your consent that you've been already given to the platform that you're using.
Right.
That's how we want to allow users to verify the accuracy of the reputation data that would be independently than what we are building in. The last thing that I would say here is something that we've seen a lot of other projects working on, which is to foster a responsible community of contributors. And that's something that is challenging. It's not necessarily something that the blockchain technology itself is bringing a plus to it, but rather the cryptocurrencies are doing it in the sense that we are incentivizing the users of the platforms that are part of our ecosystem, that based on their actions, to be rewarded and to somehow be more encouraged to share valuable insights, to combat the misinformation of others, and to be more proactive in curating actually the content that is being found throughout the Web3 space.
Awesome. So, you've kind of touched upon my next question already, but I would like you to elaborate perhaps a little bit more for our listeners. In the context of blockchain, reputation is often associated, right, with addresses and wallet abstraction. That kind of is there, and in terms of transactions, right? How do you go beyond this and factor in perhaps real world contributions or expertise in the evaluation of reputation?
I do recognize that the importance of real world contribution is very important, and well, actually, in real world, that's something that it might be a bit difficult to quantify in a digital world, be it Web2 or Web3. So that's why, to be honest, we are focusing on what users are doing online, because we know, and this is not news, that me as an individual, I can have multiple online personas. And maybe in real life, I'm very, shy or timid, and I do not like to talk with people. But online, I am very, I'm sharing my thoughts. I'm helpful. I'm giving tips and tricks on, or I'm doing courses. I'm learning. It depends how you are as a person. So it's a bit difficult to create a digital persona of yours and knowing exactly that, that's how you are also in real life. So that's right. Why we want to work on assessing the reputation of users by considering, as said before, the subjective part, which includes how you interact in social medias and in social platforms, and the objective part by comprising the past performance and data-driven actions. And this happens over time. We want to allow the users of the platforms that will be using the DRS to showcase their expertise, their reliability, and authenticity. But this can only be done through their actions and through their contributions. And we can only do so much than just storing that data about their actions and their contributions. So having like a holistic approach, we enable a more accurate evaluation of the reputation than just checking the transaction history of addresses. Because as said before, there are right now a lot of good projects that are analyzing strictly based on the address on chain. And you don't know if behind that address it's one person, or it's a fund, or if it's a group, or, you know. But once you as a user, you are using a gaming platform, you have your username there, and you can activate a decentralized ID that is tied to that username in that game. So it's like, okay, yes, I am one user playing, World of Warcraft. And if I'm taking that DID that is connected to my username in that game, and I'm moving to another game that is also part of our ecosystem, you're taking with you that all the results of your actions, so your scores, your leaderboards, your, I don't know, achievements, badges, and stuff like that. And maybe in the second game you're going to, that developer would provide you additional perks because, okay, so the username meet 2.3 is coming over here, but I see that this username is connected to a certain wallet or to a certain DID that has been having all of these activities that we see, they are stored here on the blockchain. So yeah, that is a real user. So I'm giving him additional, perks within my new game. So maybe I'm giving him some new artifacts, or I don't know, depending on the type of that game. So that's how we are trying to put a user behind an address and behind the transaction ID by going and working closely with the platform in which that user is active itself.
Okay, brilliant. So, blockchain communities are fairly diverse, right? And they're pretty global, like we talked about in the beginning. How do you, how does Curetto actually ensure that the system is inclusive and it's adaptable to different cultures, yet remaining industry specific, in its norms?
You're so right. And I think I've touched this also before. Web3 communities and online communities in general, they are very diverse. Right. So we wanted to develop a product that is designed to be inclusive and adaptable to this diverse context. So that's why whenever we reach out to a new potential partner, platform, or ecosystem to join the Curetto DRS, we work closely together because they are the ones that know best their users and their communities. And we decide together with them which KPIs would be trust-related or performance-related. And that's how we allow them to set their own norms and standards within the Curetto DRS. So that's how the users can participate in their various ecosystems while adhering to specific cultural or, industry-specific norms of each. Like I said in the beginning, we do aim to create some standardized, at least to standardize a few of these KPIs. But in the end, we want to have it as customizable as possible. Because if I'm of a certain, like I said, as we have a commitment to interoperability, we want to allow these users to carry their reputations and to make it more easier for them to engage with other communities and also maintaining their unique identities, depending on how diverse they are.
Right. So, you've kind of touched upon my next question. I wanted to ask you about interoperability and how you guys are facilitating that.
Mm-hmm. When we started with everything and we realized that it's better to get our reputation system outside of the platform and to make it so that it's interoperable and to help as many people as possible, we envisioned it to be seamlessly used across industries, across Web2 or Web3, across chains. So spanning from social networks, Web3 gaming, gig economy, or even the sharing economy. So we've created a set of APIs at first. With those APIs, we collect the data within the platforms and within the different industries. We store the actions through our smart contracts on-chain, and then these platforms that we've been working with, they will connect again to through our APIs to show on their users' profile page their reputation based on the activity that that user is doing, not only within their own platform, but also from the others. So that means that a user can establish and build his reputation on one platform easily, and then easily transfer it to another, eliminating the need to start it again from scratch. So that's how, for instance, like in the context of social networks, users will be enabling themselves to verify each other's credibility and reliability based on the content that they've been sharing, let's say, on Myriad Social, which is a social platform in the Near ecosystem, and take that content creation and how that community has been interacting with it and share it into, I don't know, another one on the Polygon network.
Right.
And we've been keeping it pretty simple. We've taken something that seems very difficult to achieve, but we believe that the state that we are at right now, which is a bit more than just an AVB and the proof of concept, because we've been using it and interacting already within the platform ourselves. We already have something like six other platforms that are in line to on the wait list to integrate. And we're happy that we have two social platforms, an influencer platform, a marketplace, and also a freelancing platform, all in the Web3 ecosystem. So it's very diverse.
Awesome. Wow. So what is like a big next milestone for you guys, like while building Correct?
This is right now what we focus very much on is on to developing more the Correto DRS to attract more platforms from different verticals to have an even clearer market fit than we've already managed to establish, and focus exactly on our vision, in this vision of creating a way for users to seemingly port their reputation through the platform that they are already using. We want to make them, they may not even know, and we want to also encourage the Web2 more users to come to Web3 in a way that they may not even know that they are using a Web3 solution.
Right. So, that is something like a lot of builders in the Web3 nowadays say, right? That they want to build something that the user perhaps doesn't even know that it's on Web3, but you know, it's solving a problem for them.
Yes, and we know that it's easier said than done.
Right, absolutely, yeah, because of the technology itself.
Exactly. We know that there are so many barriers right now. Okay, so I have to create a wallet. What's that? Oh, but I'm afraid. But you know, I keep forgetting things. What if I lose my seeds and stuff like that? But in the end, that would be in a way the way to move forward, because there's something new that people are reluctant to change. But when you see that that change will do you more good than harm, then you will find ways to make it easier for you. That's why we are not focusing necessarily on developing our own DID, and rather partnering up with people with projects that are already doing a good job on that, and we want to be as inclusive as possible. So taking the best points from many other, because moving forward, and we we talk about interoperability in terms of users, but we also have to talk about interoperability between products and platforms. I'm a believer that I'm not focusing on competition. I'm more focusing on collaboration, because the world is so big and there are so many users out there. It's not like we have to fight each other on, I'm going to take 10 users from you and 10 users from you. That's why when I'm thinking about interoperability between, let's say, web games, it would be an advantage both for game A and game B to provide cross benefits to their users.
Right. Wow. So in terms of, you know, moving a little beyond Koretto and looking at the market at large, who would you consider like your competitors? And I don't believe that there are actually any competitors in Web3. Mm-hmm. I think we all kind of work together because, mm-hmm, you know, this, mm-hmm, is also still new. So who are your, perhaps a better word or a better way to frame this would be, who are your key partners in this journey, mm-hmm, to building Koretto?
Yes. We look at layer one protocols that are trying to solve this problem of identity in Web3. We look at platforms such as, I don't know, like there is one, Octan Network, that they are also working on giving reputation scores on addresses and transactions, what we were talking before. They have, right, a very good approach, but again, it's not necessarily putting also a user in the back of that address. It's simply an address. We have other platforms such as DeFi, that they also have a very good product in terms of analyzing smart money and what people are doing, like Nansen as well. But there isn't, and to be honest, there isn't a direct project that it's aiming to do what we are working on doing, and that is giving more power to the user. And by power, I mean giving him the possibility to take what he's working on in place A and get additional perks and benefits in a place B. If I'm a gamer, I could get it more easily accepted in different guilds or get sponsorships. And I can prove that not by, okay, you have to go into game A leaderboard section and check there what I have been doing in the game ABCD, but you can check it directly through a Web3 resume that we want to create for yourself. So these are the type of projects that we are looking at, and also projects that we want to focus on working with. For instance, we have a partnership with Into the Block that they do very good on-chain analysis. So, you know, why spend time in developing something new when it's already there and you can work together, right, with the product? For instance, we're not aiming to like the platforms that would adopt the Koretto DRS would, mm-hmm, be able to use our user analytics, right, for themselves. Instead of them building a new set of inside analytics, they could just query and use the activity reports that they're getting on chain based on their users' activities and create their own analytics, and not spend more time and address more funds or resources to develop their own. Use what it's there. That's why it's decentralized in the end. You just have to create, to connect some dots.
Right, absolutely. So what is your, you know, how, first things first, how can these projects who are perhaps listening to us, can, you know, get in touch with you to see if, you know, there'll be a good fit for, mm-hmm, your ecosystem?
The easiest way would be to go on our website. It's koretto.io. Over there, we have a section, DRS. Okay. and that's the contact. They can reach out to me on Twitter. They can reach out to us on Telegram. So we're very present on socials. But the quickest and fastest way would be through Telegram in our groups or through the LinkedIn profile.
All right. Okay. Awesome. So, you know, because I completely lost track of time, you know, this conversation has been so wonderful and so insightful. But I would like to touch upon what is your take right now, perhaps on the market at large, and, you know, how do you view this bear market right now? And what do you think would propel the market out from this bear to the bull market again?
My personal opinion is that this bear market is different than the others. Why do I think that? Is that so? I've been through two bear markets and two bull markets. I've noticed that it's different. Right now for 2023, people were saying, oh, it's going to explode because the halving is coming next year. Personally, I didn't think that will happen because of all the regulations that are starting to appear, of all the we see the SEC going after so many. But with the latest results, now that the spot ETF, it's very possible to be coming to life, that would be a propeller, in my opinion. The next halving, I don't think it's going to be such a huge one, but what I'm doing and what I also recommend is to look into strong projects out there, of course, the top 3-5, to put in as much as you can afford to lose, to do your own due diligence about what's happening. Because 10 years ago when Bitcoin, 10 years, yeah, something like 10 years ago when Bitcoin was $100, nobody was thinking that it's going to reach $60,000, right? And right now, when it's 20 something, nobody will think that it's going to reach 100 or 200,000. And it is going to happen. I'm certain that whether it's in the next bull run or in the other, you have to start, because that's something that we've seen. And unfortunately, it's also something that scares a lot of people. Too many retail users are just thinking about quick gains. And by quick, it has to be days or weeks. You have to have a different mindset, because that was also my mindset when I joined in 2017. I was, okay, overnight, I'm going to be a millionaire. No, that's not going to work. You have to learn. You have to understand the market, the cycles. They are very important. And have a look also in the macro environment. And we see that on a macro level, things are not looking very good as well. So you should prepare mentally that the market will not skyrocket in the next 2 months. And you should prepare yourself that maybe December will be a very bad month for crypto. I don't know. Bitcoin can easily go back to 20K, or and Ethereum can go to 1,200. So it's very, that's the beauty of the market, right? You cannot actually pinpoint it. You cannot actually say, okay, now it's going up or now it's going down. You can only put in small amounts and don't forget to take profits along the ways, of course. And make sure that the people you're following actually do have a way to prove their past history results. And the number of followers, I don't believe is the best way to go.
Okay, awesome. That is some good advice, I think. So now before we wrap up, this is a question I ask everybody who comes on the show, and I would love to know your thoughts as well. You know, you also kind of made a leap from Web 2 to Web 3. And now that, you know, you are in the Web 3 space, what would be your advice for people who are still sitting on the fence to start living on blockchain?
One of the most commonly I tell to people that ask me this, because it's not the first time I've received this question, is when, if you decide to join Web3, whether you're a builder as a developer or whether you are an entrepreneur wanting to go come into Web3, it's very important who do you connect yourself with. So it's very the people, your close network is very important. If you have no idea or you don't have an active network within the Web3, okay, because you're joining now, try to look within your connections in Web2, because most certainly at least 2, 3, 4, 5 of them are active in Web3, and they could help you get to the right people. It's very important who you surround yourself with. Because unfortunately, in Web3, not everybody is looking for your best interest. They are looking for their own best interest. So that's why I say that if you want to start, look first within your current circle of network, friends and professional networks that you trust, because you've been working with them, or you have, let's call it, your own evidence that they are trustworthy. And ask them if they know someone. So go from warm intro to warm intro rather than just trying all the marketing agencies that will contact you, answering to all the DMs that you'll be getting in Telegram once you're out there. So take everything, take it with a grain of salt. If it's promised to you, you are going to be the best dev, I'm going to provide you the best projects to work with, don't go there. Don't get excited, overexcited from the start. Take things slow.
Yeah, I think that is like good advice. That's wonderful advice. So thank you so much, Vlad, for taking out the time to speak to me. Before we wrap this up, any last thoughts?
I would say that we have to start thinking a bit, try not to, if you are new and you're joining Web3 just now, try not to think with your stomach. So try to, if you want to build something, actually do something that is doing good to the industry. If you are already an active Web3 enthusiast, try to do your best to work on creating a good name to this industry, because unfortunately a lot of people are still reluctant to join Web3 because they think that this industry is mainly scams, is mainly people obsessed with how to make as much money as possible in a quick way, ethical or not. My personal thought, I'm in this industry for 5 years and I didn't do anything and I didn't build anything. And when we started Coreto and now the Coreto DRS, we didn't start with the idea of let's get ourselves rich, but rather on let's build something that it's needed and it will be helpful for the new people joining in and for the ones that are still here. So that would be my closing thoughts to whether you're just joining or you're an existing enthusiast, do what you're doing with the goal to help others and the goal to give a good and a better name to Web3.
Right. I think that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Vlad, for taking out the time once again to speak to us and tell us about Coreto. I think reputation-based research as well as a platform that kind of helps in making better decisions is very pertinent in this day and age, because you know it all comes down to reputation. We cannot build this ecosystem unless people are aware that there is, you know, that there are so many good actors amongst the bad as well.
There are, exactly. And one more thing, when my wife was pregnant, my mother-in-law said to me, the good things come in 9 months.
Right.
There is nothing, and this also applies to reputation. It cannot be built overnight. It cannot be, okay, Rome wasn't built in one day, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
Everything has to be taken step by step, challenge by challenge, and somehow the universe, the decentralized universe, metaverse, and so forth will provide the solutions and answers that we are looking for.
Absolutely. I think that is so beautifully put. Nothing happens overnight, and you know, it's all it all takes time to get the good thing and to get the results. On that note, thank you so much, and we'll wrap up this particular podcast. Guys, please get in touch with Vlad if you know you have any questions. If you're building in the reputation space in Web3, what Curetto is doing is commendable and absolute need of the hour.
Thank you, Tabisha, for having me.
Thank you so much.